Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov, first year of the week for me, and Chodesh Tov. We are just welcomed in Rosh Chodesh Adar on Shabbos Kodesh. Shalavai v'shal bizocha to mishenichnas Adar marbin besimcha. As the Gemara teaches us that when Adar enters, we have increased joy, and halavai may be for all of Kal Yisrael the Karav b'yameinu. We are learning as always as an aliyah neshama. For Tzvi Gershon Alav Vashon Ben Yoav Vachana, may his neshama have a continuous aliyah in the source of the Torah learning that we share this morning. With Alyssa's generous permission, this year is also Zchus Refuah continued for Bracha V'Gai Bas Racha Geta. And specifically, Alyssa asks that we continue to dedicate this year for Zchus Refuah Shalem and Besuras Tovos for Zev Wolf Ben Chaya Sara, may he be Zocha Tarachami Shamayim, with Arichus Yamim and Shanim, with good health to enjoy. Let us say the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Ribono she'olam, yihi ratzon b'fanecha al rachum v'chanun, she'tizekeni ha'im u'v'choyim, mishmar pi u'lashonim yilashon hara v'chilas, v'ezarim l'dabar, afil al ish yachi, v'kol she'ken ha'kla yisrael, o achelek mehem, v'kol she'ken m'lisroim al midosef shal kodesh baruch hu, v'ezarim l'dabar divrei sheker chanufa machokas kas gai v'onas dvarim habanas panim leitzonus, v'chol dibur aser, v'zekeni shalo l'dabar, Kim davar hatzarich liinani gufi v'nafshi v'yukal ma'asai v'dibruai l'shem shamayim amen v'amen. So we haven't actually been in the learning of Maseches Arachin for a little while. We only meet every other week, or I shouldn't say only, we meet every other week. And last time it was right after the Patira of Three Gedolim. We met on Monday, we lost Three Gedolim on Sunday. So we spoke about Inyan Neshmeres Halashon vis-a-vis a teaching of a Medrash as expounded upon by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky Zatzal. The week before that, the 2 weeks before that, we took a break from Maseches Arachin because we learned a fascinating insight into Makas Barad. I hope everyone remembers. It was quite incredible how Makas Barad is really all about Lashon Hara. Paro spoke Lashon Hara. He doesn't want to hear the voice of God, etc. Okay, so we are actually going back to our learning from before those two Shi'arim. So it takes us back about a month and a half now. And we are going through the Dapim here in the Gemara, where the Gemara speaks at length about the teachings regarding Lashon Hara. And we have been seeing that even when it comes to the Gemara, we need the commentators to explain. So we are in the middle of the teaching of as follows, okay? I'm going to quote the teaching just to reframe us all as to where we are. Rabba bar Rav Huna. So I'm in Maseches Arachin, Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. So we finished Tes Vav. Okay, it took us some time to go through Baruch Hashem in depth. And now we are on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabba bar Rav Huna. Amar. Rabba bar Rav Huna says, "Kol milsa demis amar ba'al pei talasa." Anything said in the presence of three, and remember, three stands for the public. Don't worry, I'm not reviewing everything that we learned already. Okay, those Shiurim on Mayu Torah, if you miss them, it's very kedai, believe, to go back and listen. But there is one teaching from Rabbi Daniel Feldman in regard to in the presence of three that we did not quote yet. So that's what we're going to be starting with today before we move on to the next topic. Anything said in the presence of three or more, three represents the public, is assumed to have become public knowledge. And therefore, there is no prohibition of Lashon Hara involved in repeating a further if it was said in the presence of three or more. Why not? My Tama, why is there no prohibition? So the Gemara says, Chavarch Chavra Isle, your friend has a friend who he will tell. The Chavra de Chavra Chavra Isle, and your friend's friend has a friend who he will tell. Sounds a lot like modern age. You have a friend, and your friend has a friend, and your friend has a friend, and before you know it, everyone's friend is posting your information. It will circulate so widely. So we are trying to understand this teaching, and how is it that, like Rabbi Daniel Feldman said, if you remember, we learned this a while ago, it would seem even worse if you say in the presence of three, if it's lashon hara to one person, then how could I say it to 3, 6, 10, 18 people? Isn't it worse if I say it to a larger crowd? Remember, we spoke about teachers' meetings, so as we are learning, it's not so clear. You can take the Gemara face value here without learning the Mefarshim on the Gemara. It's not a blanket statement. If you missed the previous Shiurim, don't leave the Shiur and now think that you could say whatever you want in the presence of three or more people. It's not true. So, again, I'm now quoting one more paragraph, one more opinion, I should say, from False Facts and True Rumors by Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman. Subheading, Lashon Hara and Contemporary Culture. Right? This sefer is published by the Ritz Practical Halacha Series. That's what the byline says here. Okay? So in this chapter that we have been going through and explaining the different opinions, okay, I'm just going to quote one sentence from what we previously said. The first two positions assume ape talasa, a place to the listener of the information. So who is the prohibition? If you say something, the Gemara just says anything said in the presence of three or more is considered public knowledge. It has no prohibition of lashon hara. So the question is, how do the commentators say who is the prohibition against? Does that mean there's no prohibition of lashon hara for the speaker in the presence of three or more? That doesn't mean there's no prohibition of lashon hara for the listener if it's in the presence of three or more. So can I go to 10 people and say something? Does it mean I'm potter, there's no prohibition of lashon hara for me, the speaker, or is it about the listener? So Rabbi Feldman, on this extensive sefer full of footnotes quoting many different sources, tells us that there are different opinions. The first two positions assumes that api talaisa applies to the listener of the information. So it's okay for the listener to hear, while the latter two assume it applies to the speaker. But again, there were many, many caveats and qualifications, even when you want to say something about someone else in public. So I'm quoting the last opinion that we did not discuss yet. I'm not going back and going into what we already spoke about. Again, those shiurim are available online. Okay, the final position here regarding api talasa is the most surprising. There are views among the early authorities that this license, that you may say something in the presence of three and it's not considered lashon hara, that this license is applicable not to the listeners, okay, so the nine other women at the table at the wedding who are listening to the person. It's not the license of saying something in the presence of three is not applicable to the listeners, but rather is applicable to the speaker. And it justifies his speech when a larger audience is present. So this opinion says that the speaker, when a larger audience is present, may say what would be considered lashon hara in the presence of only one. How do we understand this? One authority, writes Rabbi Feldman, to maintain this interpretation is Rabbi Yonah of Gerona. And again, the footnotes tell you everywhere that he is sourcing from. He asserts that the context of this teaching in the Gemara is one who is speaking negatively about another person. So it's about the speaker. He is speaking negatively about another person for a necessary purpose. However, even if that motivation is present, in other words, a necessary purpose, the speaker is still required to ensure that his words are actually justified and they do not constitute unproductive lashon hara. So, according to this opinion by Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerona, this license to disseminate information in the presence of three or more is not talking about the listeners, it's rather giving license to the speaker. We assume that in this case, the speaker is speaking productive and necessary speech. Even with this motivation, we need to ensure the words are justified and do not constitute unproductive lashon hara. Accordingly, continues Rabbi Feldman, if the premise is that this negative speech is necessary to accomplish some purpose, then it must be stated that way in public, including possibly in front of the subject who will hear what is being said. So if there is a necessary purpose and you want to accomplish some purpose, and therefore the negative speech must be said, it must be stated that way, it must be stated in a way that the public and possibly including the subject, in other words, the person you're speaking about, will hear what is being said. So it needs to be said in a way that everyone will understand that it is what we could use the word to'eles, there is a necessary purpose, and it is being said in public. Perhaps even the subject himself will hear what is being said. If the comments would be whispered without the likelihood of wider dissemination, it would probably indicate the speech is, and then the speaker does not have a license. Because if you're whispering to three or four people, what does it really tell you? It's really not public information. And in this case, it is likely mere gossip. It is not focused on an actual improvement of society or improvement of the individual. And therefore, if you feel it necessary to whisper your speech and you don't really want it to be disseminated further, then we all assume that that is lashon hara. So the license here, according to Rabbeinu of Gerona, is that the speaker may say something that would otherwise be considered lashon hara publicly in the presence of three or more, only if it serves a constructive purpose. It must be said in a way that the listeners will understand that it is for a constructive purpose. If the speaker still is talking to a group, let's say 3, 4, 5, which is 3 or more, ba'apetalesa, but nevertheless he feels it necessary to whisper because he doesn't want it to be disseminated further, then we understand that truly in that case, it is not for a purpose and it cannot be said. So ba'apetalesa gives birth to and rise to a whole slew of discussion among the commentators, and so exactly what the Gemara means. So now, I just wanted to say one thing. My chumash is, 1 second. When I was learning through Parshas Mishpatim, and now we're going to go back into the Gemara, when I was learning through Parshas Mishpatim this week, so in Parachof Gimel, there are so many mitzvahs in Parshas Mishpatim, 53 mitzvahs of Bichtav, I believe. So the Chumash says, Perichav Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Parshas Mishpatim, Lo Tisa Shem Hashav, you shall not bear a meritless report. Excuse me, end of the Pasuk, Al Tashas Yarchim Rasha Lios Eid Chamas, do not put your hand with an evil person to be a fraudulent witness. What is the first half of the Pasuk speaking about? Lo Tisa Shem Hashav. So I'll just start with Targum Unklus. Targum Unklus says, Lo Sikabel Shema Dishkar, like from the word checker, Lo Tikabel. You shall not receive Shema Deshakar, some sort of false report. So what do you think Rashi is going to tell us? Who is this a prohibition against? Lo Tisa Shema Shav. Rashi says, Ketargumo, like Targum Unklus says, Lo Sikabo Shema Deshkar, you shall not accept a false report. Azhara Limekabel Lashon Hara. So it's not just that you can't be the speaker de oraisa, lo seidech rechel bamech. I don't know if we're going to get to tonight, but today, but we're going to see soon the Rambam inside, maybe in 2 weeks, where he talks about lo seidech rechel bamecha. But it's not only that you can't be a speaker of Lashon Hara. The pasuk is interpreted, lo sisa shem hashav, what is this mitzvah? Azhara lemekabel lashon hara. You're not allowed to be mekabel, you're not allowed to be the listener who is accepting this slanderous report. Furthermore, Rashi says, and it's also for the judge, you should not listen to the words of one litigant until the fellow litigant comes to plead his case. That's quoting from Masechet Sanhedrin 7b. I actually looked up the Gemara when I was preparing for Shir, just to see if it shed further light on Rashi's comment. It's an Azhara lemekabel lashon hara. I did not see that the Gemara further comments on it, but we see that we do have a doraisa. On the one hand, we can't speak lashon hara, but on the other hand, it is isur doraisa to accept a slanderous report. So you shouldn't think, well, they said it to me, so what do you want from me? No, it doesn't work like that. You are also responsible for the slanderous report that you have accepted. Okay, going back to the Gemara. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, I said this already, we quoted this piece of the Gemara already, and we spent at least, I think, 3 or 4 classes going through it, maybe 3. Kol milsa de misamar ba'apei tila. So anything said in the presence of 3 people or more can be assumed to be public knowledge. Therefore, leis b'mishum lishna bisha. There's no prohibition of lashon hara involved in repeating it further. Is it on the speaker? Is it on the listener? There's differences of opinion. Ma'itama, because what's the reason? Chavarch chavra isle. Your friend has a friend who he will tell. The chavra de chavarach, chavra isle, and your friend's friend has a friend who he will tell. Comment to art school. Since the person who revealed his private information to 3 or more knew this, that everyone has a friend who they will tell, he thereby signaled he is not concerned if someone repeats it. And now I'm going to Simon Maseches Erechin Tazayin Amar Aleph. Art school has a lengthy footnote in regard to this teaching. Now we spent a few weeks going through Abba Falmin, but I'm also going to go through the teachings of art school here. Okay, here we go. Api Telasa, in the presence of 3. New information, we've not done this yet. According to Rashi, the Gemara is speaking about a person whose affairs are of a kind that people generally keep private. So there are people who are more open, there are people who are less open. Some people, you know, post everything about their life on Facebook or whatever social networking app is used these days, and some people post nothing on Facebook, and some people don't care. People know their information. It's true. And this isn't a judgment call, by the way. Chas v'shalom. Different people have different approaches to life, and that's how different people deal with life. And some people want everything private. Some people are in between, wanting everything public and wanting everything private. Whatever works, whatever person is. But can you retell the information of somebody else? So according to Rashi, the Gemara here, this teaching of Api Telasa in the presence of 3, is speaking about a person whose affairs are of a kind that people generally keep private. Now the art school footnote gives an example. For example, he is a merchant. Okay, he's a business person. He plans to go to a certain wholesaler that only he knows about. and place an order for specific merchandise. This is the example that is given here. Typically, the merchant, if it's only he knows about it, and he's placing an order for specific merchandise, and nobody else knows about, you know, he found a great deal somewhere, you know, he found a great mitzvah, and he stands to make money from it, and he doesn't want people to know. He didn't do anything wrong. It's just private. Typically, the merchant would not want his competitors, and certainly not his customers, to know the source of his merchandise. It would ruin his business. They don't want he wouldn't want them to know the price he is paying, etc. It says if someone would reveal this information, and as a result the merchant suffered a business setback, this indiscreet person would be guilty of lashon hara. So let's say you happen to know, you know, your neighbor told you in full confidentiality that they're going to this specific supplier and they stand to make a lot of money and don't tell anyone, and you go and tell people, so you are guilty of lashon hara, and now certainly that business person is going to suffer. That is, he would be guilty of the kind of lashon hara where one causes harm to someone, this is in the parentheses, without necessarily disparaging him. And that footnote is quoting the Chafetz Chaim. So even though you didn't say anything negative about him, you might think, well, why is it lashon hara? I didn't say he's a bad person. In fact, I said he's such an honest person. He's such an elachayid. He's such a, he nasasa v'nasata be'amuna. He conducts his business dealing faithfully, and he's a great guy. And do you know where he's buying his merchandise from? From that warehouse in Inwood. And now, this is totally made up, and now everybody else knows, and now the deal just went past. You didn't say anything negative about him. It's still considered, according to Chafetz Chaim, lashon hara, even though you haven't disparaged him. What does this have to do with Ba'api Talasa in the presence of three, where the three stands for public? If, however, the merchant on his own doesn't tell you in a secret whisper and begs you not to tell anyone, rather, the merchant announces his own plans in the presence of three people, he has shown he does not care who learns his information, because if you tell one person, you could daven that they will keep your secret. Once you tell three or more, like the Gemara says, your friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend, and we're going to say your friend's friend has a friend, has a friend, has a friend. And now you have to assume, if you want it to be a secret, don't tell it to three or more people. So once you tell it to three or more people, you say, now my source is that warehouse in Inwood. Now you assume that if you told it to three people, it's not such a secret anymore. And therefore, you assume that he does not care who learns this information, and so the listeners are free to repeat it widely. That is according to the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim and in his Be'er Mayim Chaim. So that's a teaching according to the Chafetz Chaim. So that's one idea of understanding Ba'api Telasa. It applies to the listeners. If the person himself said information indicating he doesn't consider it private anymore, then you have a license to repeat it. If he's repeating it in public and it's not disparaging him, then I'm not ruining his business. He ruined his business by himself, so you assume he doesn't care. Okay, next. In Be'er Mayim Chaim 2:4, the Chafetz Chaim considers that Rashi may instead be speaking here about Rechilas. Remember, this was according to Rashi's opinion and his understanding of the Gemara. In the Sefer Be'er Mayim Chaim 2:4, the Chafetz Chaim considers Rashi perhaps is speaking instead about Rechilos, not the strict definition of Lashon Hara. That is, person A said something about person B in front of three people. Okay, so person A, Chaim, said something about the person B, Reuven, in front of three people. Chaim just said something about Reuven in front of three people. Any of the three would be permitted to repeat the statement to person B. Who is person B? I didn't use two good names. You have to use Reuven and Shimon. It's much easier. Person A, Reuven, said something about person B, Shimon, in front of three people. Any of those three people would be permitted to repeat the statement to person B, Shimon. And only person B, as long as the statement itself is not disparaging. Why? Because you have to assume if Reuven made the statement in front of three people, once again, he doesn't care if you go back and you tell it to Shimon. So this is assuming that people are kind-hearted and people are not speaking disparaging information. I don't know today that just because someone says something, Rahman al-Slan, in front of a group of people necessarily means that it's not a disparaging statement. Unfortunately, I think that that might still happen, that someone will have no problem saying this, Reuven will have no problem, unfortunately, saying a disparaging statement about Shimon in front of five people after Shul, standing outside, whether it was about the speech or the davening, the Baal Tefillah, the Baal Korah, the person sitting next to him in Shul. Unfortunately, I think that it could still happen. And in that case, if it's a disparaging statement, then even if he said it in front of five people, again, here, as long as the statement itself is not disparaging. But if it was disparaging what Reuven said about Shimon, then those five people can now go tell it back to Shimon, you know what Reuven said about you. Even if this may lead to animosity between A and B, Reuven and Shimon, and in this case it wasn't disparaging, so you could imagine when it is disparaging, it will certainly lead to animosity. Even if it may lead to animosity between person A, Reuven, and person B, Shimon, it's no longer an issue. Why? Since A, Reuven, has in effect excused them in advance by making a statement publicly. So we understand that the halacha takes into consideration how many people you're speaking to. And as soon as you say something in public, it is assumed that you no longer care if that information is repeated in your name. So you're really the one who may have made animosity between you and Shimon, not those three or five people. Why not? Because you said it in public. So today, magnify that or amplify that by what people post online and on social networking. You're not saying in the presence of three, and you're not saying in the presence of five. Saying in the presence of hundreds of people. And even if you only posted, I don't know, you have 10 friends or 20 friends, I don't know exactly how it works, they could take a screenshot and send it on the WhatsApp group, and then it's sent on the WhatsApp group, and it's sent on the WhatsApp group. So talk about it in the presence of three, because your friend is a friend, your friend's a friend, your friend, your friend is a friend. Could be in South Africa and Australia and New Zealand and Israel within a few minutes or an hour. So if you say something in public about somebody else, we have to assume that you do not care if that information is repeated. Even if it will cause animosity, the fact that now I still have an achrayus to be a moral person, hopefully I'm not going to go around sharing this information, but A has in effect excused the listeners in advance for making the statement publicly. Interestingly, this piece concludes, it appears the Chafetz Chaim does not rule in accordance with this view that all the listeners have permission to go tell Shimon about what Reuven said. Okay. These few lines in the Gemara, continue with the article footnote, which few lines? Anything said in the presence of three, ba'api talasa, leis ba'mishum lishna bisha, involves no prohibition of lashana repeating it further because your friend is a friend and your friend's friend has a friend. These few lines in the Gemara are the focus of much attention by the Chafetz Chaim. He devotes to the topic under discussion, ape talasa, in the presence of three, one chapter each in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Hilchos Rechilus, and 35 notes of Be'er Mayim Chaim between the two. So the Chafetz Chaim devotes much attention to this statement in the Gemara that something said in the presence of three, there is no prohibition of Lashon Hara in spreading it further. The view that commands the lion's share of the Chafetz Chaim's attention is that of the Rambam, Maimandis, quoting the Rambam from Hilchos Deos, which is what we now are going to look at. So when the Chafetz Chaim focuses on this ruling of the Gemara, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, he devotes much attention, a full chapter in Hilchos Lashon Hara, a full chapter in Hilchos Rechilus, and 35 notes of the Be'er Mayim Chaim between the two. The view that commands the lion's share of the Chafetz Chaim's attention is the view of the Rambam to this halacha. So I prepared it on the screen for you, and we are now going to look at this halacha. Can you see my screen? Yes, you can. Thank you. I have to move you so that you could see. Okay. This is Hilchos Deos. Again, why are we going to Hilchos Deos of the Rambam and his Mishnah Torah? Because this section receives the lion's share of the Chafetz Chaim's attention in understanding Ba'ape Talasa and the presence of three. So the quote in the Art School Ha'aros was just from Hilchos Deos Perk Zion Halacha He. But when I came to prepare, and I've been preparing, I always prepare usually my material multiple times because I always prepare ahead. So I always think I'm going to get there. I don't get there. So then for every class, I re-prepare the same material. So I went back to look at the beginning of Hilchos Deos Perek Zayin. Instead of starting at Halacha Hey, I'm actually going to go back and start at Halacha Aleph. Okay. So you could see you said yes, correct, ladies? Oh, here on the screen. Okay, Hilchos Deos Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. Hamiragel b'chaviro, over below tase, one who collects gossip, and about his friend is over. He has transgressed on a thou shall not do mitzvah shenem, as the pasuk says, lo seilei chachil b'mecha. So let's just look at the pasuk, which I prepared for you here. This is from Parshas Kedoshim and Sefer Vayikra. And the pasuk says right here, Perek Yud Tes of Parshas Kedoshim, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Lo Seileich Rachil Ba'amecha, you should not be a gossip monger amongst your people. Now, the reason I went here is to show you the second half of the Pasuk. Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Re'echa, Ni Hashem, you should not stand by over your brother's blood, I am God. So we know that nothing in the Torah is an accident, so the juxtaposition of two mitzvos come to teach us something. So the fact that the first half of the statement is Lo Seileich Rachil Ba'amecha, you should not be a gossip monger amongst your people. On the second half, the pasuk lo sa'amod al dam re'echa, you should not stand idly by over your brother's blood. Over your brother's blood have a connection. So now let's go back to the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. So the Rambam says, "Hamiragel b'chaver," someone who speaks negatively, who peddles gossip about his friend, he's over. He has been over. Lo ta'ase shenemar lo seilechachil b'mecha. Va'af al pi she'ein lokin al davar zeh. Even though he doesn't receive malchus for this, even though he was over the lo ta'ase, he does not receive malchus. He doesn't receive lashes. Nevertheless, zeh avon gadol hu. When I highlight the words, can you see that I just highlighted something? Yeah, okay, good. Za'avon gadol hu. This is a tremendously great sin. So even though there's no malchus, excuse me, a person should not think, well, fine, you know, I don't get malchus, so it's really not so bad. Za'avon gadol hu. This is a sin that is very great. V'goreim laharog, whoa. V'goreim, and it causes laharog, death, nefashos rabas b'Yisra. It causes the loss of many souls, not loss. V'gorem laharog nefashos rabos Mishrael. And it causes to kill many souls in Israel. Lakach nismachlo, and now we can understand the first half of the pasuk, says the Rambam, to the second half of the pasuk. That's why the pasuk concludes with Vilo ta'amod al dam re'echa, like I showed you here on my screen. Do not be a gossip monger amongst your people. Second half of the pasuk, do not stand idly by over your brother's blood. So the Rambam says it's not an accident. He who speaks Ashenar, he who is a rechiel, he who is a gossip monger, is standing by watching while he himself is responsible for the slaying of many souls in Israel. Tzei umad ma'ire l'doeg ha'adomi. He says, go out and learn what happened to doeg ha'adomi. Perek Zayin halacha beis. Ezehu rachil, because we just said, lo seilech rachil ba'amecha. So the Rambam here is talking about this pasuk. It tells us not to be a rachil. What is a rachil? Ezehu rachil. What does that mean? Right? Zesha to'ein dvarim. I thought that this was very interesting, the usage of the word to'ein, because we have a to'ein in a beis din. How does Chabad, which is the site that I'm just using to put the Mishnah Torah on the screen for you, how do we translate a to'ein, which I never knew, one who collects information? So I thought that that was very interesting, because that makes sense. Someone who comes to the Jewish court of law for the client or the defender, whatever you call it, a to'ein comes, that's someone who has to collect information. So I just thought that that was interesting. It's a side point. Ezehu rachil. What is a rachil? Zesha to'ein dvarim. Someone who collects information. In this case, not about astronomy, not about biology, not about cooking, not about baking, but he collects information about other people. V'holeich mizeh lizeh. And he goes from this one to that one. V'omer. And he says, kach amar ploni, kach v'kach shamati al ploni. This is what ploni says. So and such says this one. And such is what I heard about this one. He's collecting information. Those are his wares. Aval pishahu emes. It might be true, the information he's collecting. And that was an old adage about Lashon Hara. It's true, so I could say. Now, I don't think that anyone who's been following this class any longer believes that misnomer, that just because something's true, it can be said. But the Chavetz Chaim, the Rambam says here, Beferish, Afo Pisha hu ames, it might be true. Nevertheless, Hareza machariv et ha'olam. It could be true. But he who goes around collecting information, kach v'kach amar ploni, kach v'kach shamati al ploni, you wouldn't believe what I heard about this one, you heard, wouldn't believe what this one said, could be true. Hare ze machriv et ha'olam. This person is destroying Churban Bais. He's destroying the world. Yesh avon godol mizahar me'od. I'm sorry. Yesh avon godol mizahar me'od. V'hu b'kal lav zeh, v'hu b'kal lav zeh, v'hu lashon hara. There is even a greater sin, very great sin, and it is under this category of this lav, of this lo taseh, of lo seleich v'chil b'mecha. And what is this sin? V'hu lashon hara. So there is rechilus and there's lashon hara. They all fall under the same category of lo seleich v'chil b'mecha. And the Rambam says an even greater sin is yesh avon gadol mizeh ad ma'od. It is so great, very much, and it is under the klal of this lo taseh, and that is a sin of lashon hara. V'hu, and what is lashon hara? V'hu ha-misaper b'gnus chaveiro, and he is one who finds disparaging things to say about his friend. I mean, chaveiro is not really his friend. He finds disparaging things to say about fellow men. Afo pishu sha'omer emes. Again, the rechilus could be true, the lashon hara could be true. In the case of lashon hara, literally evil tongue, you're saying something disparaging about your friend, and it's even worse sin. Aval ha'omer sheker. But someone who says sheker, so he is not telling the truth. So that means it's not under the category of the rechilus or lashon hara of al ha'omer sheker, but one who says falsehoods. Funny, just week's parsha, also parsha mishpatim, we also have the azhara mitvah sheker tirchak. So whoever says sheker, nikra motzi shema al chaveiro. So you don't fall under the category if you tell sheker of rechilus or lashon hara, but you fall under another forbidden category of speech, which is called motzi shema al chaveiro. You have motzi shema, you have given out a bad name for your friend. Aval ba'al lashon hara zeh sheyosh aval ba'al lashon hara zeh. But this ba'al lashon hara, the one who is the habitual gossiper, zeh sheyosh ve'omer. This is the one who sits and he says, kach v'kach asa ploni. So and so ploni did. V'kach v'kach hayu avosav. Look at this. And you know what his fathers were? You should have seen, in other words, in a disparaging way. You could have somebody, excuse me, who is a chozer b'teshuvah. You could have someone whose father was an idol worshiper and a kofra and who ate pork and who was Michal Shabbos Befrah Hasiyah, and the son came and he's a wonderful person and he is a chozer b'teshuvah and he believes in the Rabbanu Sha'olam and he has repented his ways and he is medactic on halacha. So to walk around saying v'kach v'kach hayu avosav is terribly disparaging. Your motzi shema on him. People might not trust his yichus anymore, and he's such an erlich, a fine, upstanding yid. So that's lashon. So you can't say how bad his fathers were, even if Taka, they were kofim. Why? Because, listen, by the way, Avram Avinu, okay? I don't think anyone here would go around saying how bad Avram Avinu was, because the Rambam that we're learning, at the beginning of Hilchos Ov Dekochavim, which I don't have prepared here on my screen for you, so I'm not going to take time to go get it, but the Rambam writes that his father worshipped idols, his mother worshipped idols, and this is a direct quote in English, and he worshipped along with them. So would you say about Avram Avinu, we're going to be motzi shema? No, so we should learn from that. You can't go around and saying v'kach v'kach hayu avosav. Not everyone's parents were righteous people. So sometimes we want to twist history and say everybody was righteous. So l'maisa, there are chosim b'teshuvah, and someone could come from a kofar like Avram Avinu. What's a shame on the person? You could ruin his reputation. You could ruin his standing in the community. You could ruin shidduchim for his children, let's say. You can't say. V'kach v'kach shamati alav. You can't say. So you can't say such and such is what Ploni did. Such and such were how his fathers behaved. Such and such shamati, have I heard about him. V'amar dvarim shal gnai. And you're saying words of disparagement, and it's usher to say these things. Alzer amar akasuv, about this the pasuk says in Tehillim, Yachris Hashem kol sifsei chalakos. Hashem will cut down all those who speak smooth speech. Lashon midaberes gadol is the tongue that speaks of great things. And here that doesn't mean in a good way. David HaMelech is saying is that anyone who uses his mouth for slanderous purposes, for haughty purposes, to, you know, smooth himself out while he disparages his friend, that tongue will be cut off. Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. Amru Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Shalosh Averos Nifra'in Min Ha'odam. Shalosh Averos Nifra'in Min Ha'odam Ba'olam Haza. Ve'eino Chedak L'olam Haba. The sages say that there are three sins which retribution is exacted from a person in this world, but not only in this world, he doesn't have a chilek at olam haba. So we know what the three yehareg va'alya avoros are. So if a person is over and he is not yehareg, we should never be tested and never be in such a situation. Then if he willingly transgresses these mitzvot, these aveiros, that not only is his due taken from him in Israel, but it doesn't have a chelek for olam haba. And they are avodos kochavim v'gilu arayus u'shvichos damim. So we know avodos kochavim, idol worship, gilu arayus, immorality, sexual immorality, u'shvichos damim, and bloodshed. So I cannot remember, when I was preparing for you, it was just summer over the weekend that I read this. I can't remember where I read it. Bothered me that I can't remember where I read it. I still can't remember when I was preparing. I couldn't remember. I started to write down my notes for myself. I can't remember, so Hashem should help me to remember. But I remember the var. I just don't remember where I read it. Okay? So the Maharal teaches in his introduction. I looked it up. I thought maybe I read in the Shar HaBitach of the Chuvah Salvavus, which I started to learn to. I don't remember where I read it. But the Maharal teaches in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, I found this to be very, very interesting. A person's tafkid in this world, excuse me, is to complete himself and vis-a-vis his relationship with God, to complete himself vis-a-vis his relationship with fellow men, and to complete himself vis-a-vis his relationship with himself. This is what the Maharal teaches in the beginning of his commentary to Pirkei Avos. So you might think, what's the chiddush? What am I telling you? That's a great chiddush. Excuse me. So we know that. We come here to work ben Adam l'makom, ben Adam l'chaveirom, ben Adam l'atzmo. What's a chiddush? No, it's beautiful. Ready? The three cardinal sins represent these three areas of completion. And that's why if someone is over on one of these three sins, it's as if he forfeited his tafkid in this world, right? Again, we come into this world to complete our relationship between us and God. That's what we call Bein Adam u'Makom. We come to this world to complete our relationship between us and fellow man, Bein Adam u'Chaveiro. We come to this world to complete our relationship, to improve ourselves as human beings, as Ovdei Hashem, that is a Bas Yisrael, as a Ben Torah, and that is Ben Adam La'atmo. So someone who is over on one of these three things willingly has, in a sense, negated his entire purpose of being this world. Avodas Kochavim, Avodas Zara. So he has given up working to repair his relationship, to enhance his relationship between him and Hashem. Avos Kochavim represents the breach of relationship and seeing his tafkid as working on him and God, improving his relationship with God, enhancing his relationship with God. Shvichus Damim negates the purpose of the tafkid of coming into this world for mitzvos ben Adam l'chaveiro. And Gilui Arayos represents ben Adam l'atzmo. Because a person should be more moral on a higher elevated plane than one who wants to engage in such disgusting, perverse, inappropriate behavior. So someone who transgresses one of these three mitzvos, in a sense, has negated his entire tafkid, his entire purpose in this world, and therefore he deserves his chayav misa. So again, avodas kochavim, he has negated his tafkid of coming into this world to improve bein adam l'makom, between him and his relationship with the Ribbono Shel'olam. Someone who's involved in shvichus damim has negated the purpose of man, which is to increase positive feelings and beautiful interaction bein adam l'chaveiro, shvichus damim, and killing somebody else. You've showed you don't care about bein adam l'chaveiro. And Gilui Arayos represents you don't care about you between you and yourself, because you have no morals, you have no standards, you have no accountability to yourself. You have no ability to withhold from the base animalistic desires within, and therefore the Maharal explains that that is how we understand what Rechayiv Misa for these three sins, because in a sense we have given up our tafkid in this world. I thought that that was very, very interesting. I've never seen that brought down before. Totally not my var. Again, Hashem should help me remember where I read it. Going back to the Rambam here, okay? So when I was preparing for this year, having that in mind, I thought it was a very interesting and beautiful chiddush. When I saw he mentions the three Reg Valyavars, that's what was in my mind. So again, going back to this halacha, okay? Okay, so we've been doing a very halachic-based class the past few months. We took break last week for Rabbi Dr. Tversky's teaching on the Medrash, and the time before for Makas Barot. So today we go back to our halachic type of halachic focused class on Shmiras Halashan. Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel of the Rambam's Hilchos Deos. Amru Chachamim. I'm repeating the beginning of the statement since I went and I gave you a sidebar. The sages say Shalosh Averus Nifrayim Min HaAdam BaOlam Haza VeEinu Chelek LaOlam Haba. A person should know, Rachmana Litzlan, there are three sins of this world that if he transgresses them, retribution will be taken from him in this world, and he will not receive a portion in Olam Haba. And they are avodas kochavim, idol worship, the gilui arayos, sexual immorality, ushfichus dam and bloodshed. Look at this. V'lashon hara kineged kulam. Okay, so after what we just spoke about, we saw the Lashon of the Rambam, and we brought in the Maharal. Now the Rambam is not afraid to tell you that Lashon Hara is Kenegad Kulam. In a sense, we understand it now based on the Maharal. Why? Because someone who is a Baal, a Mesaper Lashon Hara, is shown he doesn't care about improving his relationship with Adam Chaveiro. Otherwise, he wouldn't be speaking negatively, disparagingly. He wouldn't be Motzi Shema. He wouldn't be a Baal Rechilas about his friend. So he doesn't care about Ben Adam Lamakom. He also proves he doesn't care about Ben Adam Lachaveiro, I said it wrong. He also proves he doesn't care about Ben Adam Lamakom because he doesn't see that that person is precious to the Ribbon Shalom, was made B'Tzalem Elohim just like he is. He also doesn't listen to the mitzvahs because you need no other reason to fulfill those, say Lech Rechil Bamech, Lo Tisa Shem Hashav, rather than the Ribbon Shalom said. And he also shows that he doesn't have any morals or standards by which he holds himself accountable, so he is also negligent in Ben Adam La'atzma. Perhaps that's why Lashon Hara is connected. The 3 year reg va'alya avars. Why is it so great? Because he shows he neglects his duties between man and God. That's equal to avodah zarah. He neglects his duties between man and fellow man. Shvichus damim. He neglects the duties between him himself and himself. Gilei arayos so taka speaking lashon hara is connected kulam. Now us on the Zoom, we never think, and I'm sure other people will listen to some way Torah. We never consider being over avodas kochavim gilei arayos u'shvichus damim. I hope. We should never be tested. But how come we forget the lashon hara is connected kulam? It's very scary. And what the Rambam just said is that the Chachamim say, these three averos they take from you in this world, retribution, and there's no chelek in olam haba. He's not mincing words here. Lashon hara is connected kulam. So we're going to get up there and they're going to say, I never worshipped the idols, I don't think. I was never, you know, Megala Arayos, I hope. I was never a Shofech Damim. They're going to show me all the times, Oyvei, that I said forbidden things. And remember, Rambam says in Halacha Aleph, V'gorim l'hagog nefashos rabos m'Yisrael. So could I really say that I was clean, I was naki from Shvichos Damim? He says, Beferish, V'gorim l'hagog nefashos rabos m'Yisrael. Okay, so that's why we're in this class. That's what we're trying to do here. But Ad Amru Chachamim, and furthermore, the sages say, Kol HaMesaper B'Lashon Hara. Look at this. Ready? But Ad Amru Chachamim, Kol HaMesaper B'Lashon Hara, Ki Ilu Kofar Be'ikar. I believe in God. My Nisham was at Mahar Sinai. I heard Anoch Hashem Kechash and Sicha Meretz Hashem Beis Avadim. I said Kol Shor Di Bar Hashem Nasa V'Nishma V'Moshe Tuk Sefer Bris. Not Kofar Be'ekar. I keep kosher. I ask Shilas. I cover my hair. We pay Shul membership. I daven. V'Adar Mechachamim Kol Mesaper B'Lashonar Ki L'Kofar Be'ekar. Shanamar, as the Pasuk says, quoting from Sefer Tehillim, Asher Amru Lelishonenu Nagbir, Sifasenu Itanu Mi Adonanu. We have said, Lelishonenu Nagbir, we will be a gibor with our tongues. That's our koach, our tongues give us the courage, the fortitude, the power in this world. Sifasenu Itanu, our lips are with us. Mi Adonanu. There is no master over us. Now we also understand why speaking Lashon Hara is equal to the 3 year reg v'aliyavur. Someone who is over on those mitzvahs demonstrates he does not believe in the Ribbono Shalom. And unfortunately, a Mesaper Lashon Hara, and this is very powerful. Again, we're in Hilchos Deos, I said like 4 times, you could all go look it up at home. My Rambam is on the shelf, I put on the screen so you could all see it. So it's very strong. It's very strong. I don't think I'm a kofar biker. I don't think I'm over the Eirik Valya verse. It's not so pasha. V'ad amru chachamim. And furthermore, the sages say, Shalosha lashon hara horega. So you think you're not, you were never shofech damim? It's not so clear. Lashon hara kills 3. There's something that we've said previously. Ha'amro, he who spoke the lashon hara. V'hamekabel. Remember, we began by quoting from, well, not began right in the beginning, but the second verse we shared after Rabbi Feldman, Ba'api Telesa, was Rashi in this week's parsha, last week, Parsha Shmishpatim. Lo siso shema shav. Rashi quotes Targum Unklus. You cannot be mekabel shema sheker, says Unklus. You cannot be mekabel lashon hara. It's an isur d'oraisa. So you shouldn't think I was listener. Aaron also got in trouble. Miriam spoke, but Aaron got in trouble. Parshas Balos, Chaperek Yabes. Ha'amro, the speaker, the Hamakablo, and the receiver. These are both Isuri D'Oraisa. And the third person you kill, Vizesha Omer Alav. And the person who was spoken about. And now the Rambam says something very powerful. Oh, wait, look at the time. It's okay, Baruch Hashem, we covered a lot of material. I didn't even expect to get to the Rambam today, so I'm very happy. V'hamekablo yoser min ha'omro. And he who was mekabel the Lashon Hara suffers even more than the one who said the Lashon Hara. We're going to continue Be'ezrat Hashem next time. Bli neder. Hashem, Hashem, change my plans. I don't know, maybe you will. Be'alos machshavos b'levi shvatzas Hashem yihasrem hisakum. Next time, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue here in Hilchos Deos, Perek Zayin, going through the subsequent halachos, and then back to Maseches Erechin. So a lot of food for thought, a lot of practical halacha, a lot of powerful teachings. And this class is a reminder more than anything else in my life and in my teachings of the power of speech. And we can be building worlds, like the Chavetz Chaim says, and we can be chalil v'chas mamish, literally destroying and killing worlds. This year should bring us chus refuah shleima to Zev Wolf and Ben Chaya Sarah besoch she'ar chole Yisrael. We should be zocha to only share simchas. We thank Alyssa Axron and her family very, very much. Tisku l'mitzvos, Alyssa l'maisim tovim. I wish everybody a wonderful day and a week of besoros tovos. Kol tov.